A promise that has yet to been fulfilled, but all the other prophecies of Daniel have been. This one will be as well. Daniel chapter 7. Verse 2, Daniel said, "In my vision at night I looked, and there before me were four winds of heaven churning up the great sea, and four great beasts, each different from the others, came out of the sea. The first was like a lion. It had the wings of an eagle. I watched until its wings were torn off, and it was lifted from the ground, and so it stood on 2 feet like a man, and the heart of a man was given it. And there before me was a second beast, which looked like a bear. It was raised up on one of its sides, and it had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and it was told, 'Get up and eat your fill of flesh.' After that I looked, and there before me was another beast, one that looked like a leopard. And on its back it had four wings like those of a bird. And this beast had four heads, and it was given authority to rule. And after that, in my vision at night, I looked, and there before me was a fourth beast, terrifying and frightening, and very powerful. It had large iron teeth. It crushed and devoured its victims. It trampled underfoot whatever was left. It was different from all the former beasts, and it had 10 horns. While I was thinking about the horns, there before me was another horn, a little one, which came up among them. And the three of the first horns were uprooted before it. This horn had eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth that spoke boastfully. And as I looked, thrones were set in place. And the Ancient of Days took his seat. His clothing was as white as snow. His hair was like the hair of his head was white like wool, and his throne was flaming with fire, and its wheels were all ablaze. And a river of fire was flowing, coming out from before him. Thousands upon thousands attended him. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. The court was seated, and the books were opened. And then I continued to watch because of the boastful words the horn was speaking. I kept looking until the beast was slain and its body destroyed and thrown into the blazing fire. The other beasts had been stripped of their authority, but they were allowed to live for a period of time. And in my vision at night I looked, and there before me was one like a son of man, coming with the clouds of heaven. And he approached the Ancient of Days and was led into his presence. And he was given authority, glory, and sovereign power. All peoples, nations, and men of every language worshipped him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion that will not pass away, and his kingdom is one that will never be destroyed." Daniel says, "I saw four great beasts. They rose up and ruled the earth. The first beast, the beast that was like a lion, is Babylon. And Babylon was the first great empire to sweep across the world as though it had wings of an eagle. But it was destroyed, and a second beast, ponderous but powerful beyond imagination, a bear, came out, and that was Persia, the great Persian Empire. And for a long time it ruled the earth. But then a third great beast, the leopard, that swiftest of all beasts, charged onto the scene, and Alexander the Great and Greece. And Greece conquered all of the old empires of the world. But it had four heads, because when Alexander died, that empire was split into four sections. And those four empires ruled the world until the last, the terrifying beast appeared, the beast with teeth as iron, Rome. And Rome stamped the world under its feet and crushed and devoured its victims and trampled underfoot everything that was left. And there was never from that day forward another great world empire until that little horn will grow up in the future. That little horn Antichrist who will come and will for 7 years rule the world. But in those days, that is not the end, because this vision doesn't end with the mighty beasts that rule the world. This vision ends with thrones were set in place and the Ancient of Days took his throne. His clothing was white as snow. His hair was white like wool, and his throne was flaming with fire. And thousands and tens of thousands and millions and billions attended him. And then into his presence comes a little lamb, one like the Son of Man. And he's given sovereign authority, glory and honor. He establishes a kingdom that will never end. Oh, glory to God. Jesus is coming back to have a kingdom on this world, in this place, in space and in time, and people in flesh and bone will be part of it. And he will rule the world. Look with me at Daniel chapter 2, where Daniel told his first dream that says exactly the same thing. Daniel chapter 2. Beginning at verse 31, Daniel 2, 31. You looked, O king. Daniel's addressing Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. He asked all the soothsayers and the wise men and the magicians and the astrologers and all the demon people to interpret his dream, and they couldn't do it. And he was going to kill everyone, including Daniel. And Daniel said, excuse me, I don't know anything, but my God knows everything. He'll tell me the answer. And he prayed, and God gave him the answer. And he said, you looked, O king, and there before you stood a large statue, an enormous, dazzling statue, awesome in appearance. The head of the statue was made of pure gold. That is the first kingdom, Babylon. Its chest and arms were of silver. That's the second one, Persia. Its belly and thighs were of bronze. The third great kingdom, Greece. And its legs and its feet were partly of iron and partly were of iron, and its feet partly iron and partly baked clay. And while you were watching, a rock was cut out, but not by human hands. It struck the statue of on its feet of iron and clay and smashed them. Then the iron and the clay, the bronze, the silver and the gold were broken to pieces at the same time and became like chaff on a threshing floor in the summer. And the wind swept them away without leaving a trace. But that rock that struck the statue became a huge mountain and filled the whole earth. Oh, every kingdom is going to fall. It doesn't matter how terrifying, it doesn't matter how great, it doesn't matter how big. This is the dream, and how, and now we will interpret it to the king. You, O king, are the king of kings. The God of heaven has given you dominion and power and might and glory, and in your hands he has placed mankind and the beast of the field and the bird of the air. Wherever they live, he has made you ruler over them. You are the head of gold. After you, another kingdom will rise, inferior to yours. Next will be a third kingdom, one of bronze, will rule over the whole earth. Finally, there will be a fourth kingdom, strong as iron, for iron breaks and smashes everything. And as iron breaks things to pieces, so it will break all the others, Rome. And just as you saw that the feet and toes were partly of baked clay and partly of iron, so this will be a divided kingdom. Yet it will have some of the strength of iron, even as you saw the iron mixed with clay. The toes were partially iron and partially clay. So this kingdom will be partially strong and partially brittle, just as you saw the iron mixed with the baked clay. So the people will be a mixture, will not remain united any more than iron mixes with clay. All of this was fulfilled in history. Rome was divided into two kingdoms, just as the legs divide into two, the Eastern and the Western Roman Empire. And it will come again. It was predicted that there would be a great confederacy of the old Roman Empire. And today in Europe, a great confederacy exists, the European Economic, the European Union. And he says, and in the time of those kings, verse 44, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed, nor will it be left to another people. It will crush all those kingdoms and bring them to an end, but it itself will endure forever. This is the meaning of the vision of the rock cut out of the mountain, but not by human hands. A rock that broke the iron, the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold to pieces. The great God has shown the king what will take place in the future. The dream is true, and the interpretation. Jesus is going to reign. Just as he came the first time, he will come again. Now we need to understand that when he comes, it will be a time of great violence. Revelation describes that even as it picks up on explaining this thing from Daniel. But even as this rock crushed and ground and smashed all of the kingdoms of the world, when Jesus comes, it will be a time of great violence. For the world will not accept him as king. The world will raise its defiant fist, even as people do today, and say, "No, God!" But that will not stop him. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Revelation 19, verse 11. Revelation 19, verse 11. I saw heaven standing open, Revelation 19, 11. And there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He is dripped in a he is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. And the armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth comes a sharp sword. The Bible is the Word of God, and the Word of God is a sharp, two-edged sword. God made the whole universe with His Word, and with His Word He will judge it. Out of His mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations, and He will rule them with an iron scepter. He treads the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty, and on His robe and on His thigh was this name written, King of kings and Lord of lords. Jesus is coming back. And it will be a time of great violence. Matthew 24, 21. Jesus said this about that time. Matthew 24, Jesus' own words said this about that time. Matthew 24, 21. In Jesus is talking on the Mount of Olives to his disciples right before, in the days, right before his death. He's already told them the temple will be demolished. Is there a temple in Jerusalem today? He already told them that not one stone would be left upon another. Is one stone left upon another? He already told them that Jerusalem would be destroyed. Was Jerusalem destroyed? And now he says, for then of that coming day when He returns. For then there will be great distress, unequaled from the beginning of the world until now. The horrible earthquakes that we've seen that demolished Haiti are nothing compared to that day. The tsunami that swept into Indonesia and killed 250,000 people will be nothing compared to that day. In fact, the Bible declares that in the first 3.5 years of that 7-year rule of Antichrist, over 25% of all the world's population will be killed. And then in the next year or so, another 25% will be killed. So in a period of 4 years, half the world's population will die. Now, the world's current population is 3 billion people. That's 3,000 million people. I'm sorry, half of that is 6 billion people. Half of the world's population is 3 billion people, going for 3.5 billion people. A year is 365 days. 4 years makes just over 1,200 days. 1,200 days. That means that well over 1 million people a day will be dying for 4 years. That's 4 of those horrible tsunamis every single day. Today, tomorrow, the next day, the day after that, the day after that, the day after that, year after year after year after year. It will be a time of horrible violence. He says it will be unequaled from the beginning of the world until now, and it will never be equaled again. In fact, he says, verse 22, if those days had not been cut short, no one would survive. But for the sake of the elect, those days will be short. Jesus described it this way in the book of Revelation, Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14. John is looking at this revelation that Jesus gave him. And he saw the aftermath of this time and the horror of these days. And here's what he says, Revelation 14, verse 14. I looked, Revelation 14, 14, and there before me was a white cloud, and seated on the cloud was one like the Son of Man, with a crown of gold on his head and with a sharp sickle in his hand. Then another angel came out of the temple and called in a loud voice to him who was sitting on the cloud, take your sickle and reap, because the time to reap has come, for the harvest of the earth is ripe. So he who was sitting on the cloud swung his sickle over the earth, and the earth was harvested. And another angel came out of the temple of heaven, and he too had a sharp sickle. And still another angel who had charge of the fire came from the altar and called in a loud voice to him who had the sickle, take your sharp sickle and gather the clusters of grapes from the earth's vine, because its grapes are ripe. The angel swung his sickle on the earth and gathered its grapes, and threw them into the great winepress of God's wrath. Can you imagine being thrown into the great winepress of God's wrath? A horror that must be. And they were trampled in the winepress outside the city, and the blood flowed, rising as high as the horse's bridle, that's 5 feet deep, for a distance of 1,600 stadia, or a distance of 180 miles. Can you imagine death on the scale where it creates a river of blood 5 feet deep for 180 miles. It will be a time of great violence. Praise God, we don't have to be here. Thank God we talked last week how Jesus is coming for His own. Thank God that He has made a way that we can be saved from the wrath to come. Oh, but woe to those who today say, I don't care. How horrible it will be for them. But someone will say, how could God be so cruel? How could God be so terrifying? I thought God was a God of love. He is, and He's made a way. I want you to see how often God gave chance after chance after chance for people to avoid His wrath, but they failed. Look with me at Revelation chapter 9. Look with me at Revelation chapter 9. Why would God pour out such wrath? Because God is looking for people to finally, once and for all, repent. But notice what it says when the deaths begin. And we've just come through a thing, if you read all of Revelation chapter 9, about how first a quarter of the world's population was killed, Revelation chapter 6. And now in chapter 9, a third, in other words, a third of the three quarters that were left, another quarter of the world's population has been killed by all of this terror. But notice what it says, verse 20, the rest of mankind that were not killed by these plagues still did not repent of the work of their hands. They did not stop worshiping demons and idols of gold, silver, bronze, stone, and wood, idols that cannot see or hear or walk. Neither did they repent of their murders. What's it going to take for people to repent of murder? Hatred. The teacher I work with is teaching a class up in Camden. And he went up to Camden. And when he went up the first time, he parked his car. And the people came out and said, I wouldn't park my car there. Somebody was killed right there last night. Who does it help that all these people are killed, and yet will they stop the killing? They wouldn't repent of their murders, their magic arts. The horoscopes seem to be on every corner. Their sexual immorality. Oh, it's my body, I can do whatever I want. Or their theft. And can you hear God in heaven saying, just repent? No, God, we won't. Look with me at Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16. Revelation chapter 16. Verse 8. The fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and the sun was given power to scorch people with fire, and they were seared by the intense heat, and they cursed the name of God. Why is it that people are so quick to curse God, so quick to curse, so quick to swear, to take God's name in vain, to blame God, to drag God's name through the mud? They cursed the name of God who had control of these plagues, but they refused. Repent and glorify Him. All they had to do was say, God, I surrender. No, I won't do that. The fifth angel poured out his bowl on the kingdom of the beast. Verse 10. And his kingdom was plunged into darkness, and men gnawed their tongue in agony and cursed the God of heaven because of their pains and sores. But they refused to repent of what they had done. Someone says, why hasn't Jesus, if Jesus is coming back, why didn't he already do it? Simple to answer that. Look with me at 2 Peter. Back just a little bit. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. Peter is writing about the coming of Christ, and he promises that Jesus will come back, just like he said. Peter was there on the Mount of Olives when Jesus rose into the sky and was taken from their sight, and the angel stood there and said, that same Jesus that went into heaven, the same way he went, you'll see him when he comes again. He'll come in the same way. Peter's reminding the people. And he says, well, I want to start up 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. First of all, you must understand that in the last days, scoffers will come. People seem confused. You were talking about Pauly. Pauly was saying, they scoffed at me. Scoffers are going to come. That's going to happen. If you're going to live for Jesus Christ, people are going to scoff at you. You believe that stuff? Come on. Some old book written 2,000 years ago, you think that has any relevance to my... You know, grow up. This is the 21st century. You can do whatever you want. Scoffers will come scoffing and following their own evil desires. You think there's a God up there that's going to tell me not to be homosexual? Ha! You think there's a God up there that's going to tell me not to live with my boyfriend or girlfriend? Ha! You think there's a God up there that's going to tell me not to live for partying and carrying on? Ha! I'll do what I want. It's right there. They will say, where is this coming he promised? If you've talked to people very long about Jesus Christ, you'll hear exactly those. Well, people have been saying Jesus is going to come back for a long time. I don't see him. Ever since our fathers died, everything goes on as it had since the beginning of creation. But they deliberately forget that long ago, by God's word, the heavens that existed and the earth was formed out of the water and by the water, and by these same waters also the world of that time was deluged and destroyed. They forget there was a flood. God judged the world once. How many people pounded on the door of that ark before they were swept away? And you know, the Bible says Noah didn't close the door of the ark. God never told him to build a mechanism to close the door. God himself closed the door. And on the day he did, the rains began. By that same word, the present heavens and earth are reserved for fire, being kept for the day of judgment and the destruction of ungodly men. Isn't it interesting that all these movies that are coming about the end of the world threaten that there's going to be a great flood and the world's going to be flooded? God's promised he wouldn't do that. Just a defiance against God. We'll make up our own way about how it's going to happen. It'll be the opposite of what you said. But do not forget this one thing, dear friends. Don't forget this. With the Lord, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years are like a day. We're just in the third day. You know what Hosea says? There'll be 2 days of purification, and on the third day he'll come again. We've entered the third day. The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise. As some understand slowness, He's patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, If Jesus had come 30 years ago, how many of you would have made it? How about 10 years ago? How about 5 years ago? Aren't you glad he waited? Lisa, it's only been how long? If he'd have waited, if he hadn't have waited, then how many more are there out there that have yet to believe? He says, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. He wants everyone to come and say, God, I'll change. Come. I'm not going to turn my back on you anymore. Here I am. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Just because he's patient doesn't mean he'll wait forever. The day will come. And we don't know when it will be. It could be today. You may have left your house for the last time you will ever see it. You may never go home again. Jesus, you may never walk out these doors. Jesus could come at any moment. He said, I'll come like a thief. When you ate your bowl of cereal this morning, it may be the last cereal you've ever eaten. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and the heavens will disappear with a roar. The elements will be destroyed by fire. How did they know 2,000 years ago, since they didn't know anything about molecules and atoms and things like that, that when you destroy the elements, it causes a nuclear explosion? How did they know that? That's what it says. The elements will be destroyed by fire. The only time an element is ever destroyed is in a nuclear explosion. Every time a nuclear device goes off, several ounces of matter cease to exist. The elements themselves actually are destroyed. It's the only time. When you have a little fire here, when you melt water, nothing's destroyed. The only time it's destroyed is in a nuclear fire. How did they know that 2,000 years ago? But the Bible says exactly that. And the earth and everything in it will be laid bare. And then he goes on and he says this, and this is the message. If you love the Lord today, this message is for us. Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? Should you spend your whole life living for stuff that's going to be burned up? Oh, I got to have a new car. I've got to have a bigger house. I got to have an 80-inch plasma TV. Oh, my life would be so great if I just had a home theater center. It's all going to melt. What kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives as you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming. You see, for me, Jesus isn't coming back with a wampum stick. He's coming back to take me home. How about you? That day will bring about the destruction of the heavens by fire, and the elements will melt with heat. But in keeping with his promise, we, who's the we? Not the they, not the scoffers and the mockers and the we who believe. We are looking forward to a new heavens and a new earth, the home of righteousness. Oh, that day is coming. God says, I'm not being slow. I'm just giving everybody a chance. Nobody will stand in front of me and say, God never had a chance. You stacked the deck. Okay, I'm going to hell, but it's all your fault if I just had a chance. God says, never. I'm giving you chance after chance after chance after chance. And even though you've spit in my face, slapped me, walked away, kicked me in the shins, you've denied me, you've cursed me, you've rebelled against me, I still give you another chance and another chance and another chance. Someday those chances are over and Jesus will come again. And there'll be an end to evil and it'll be a violent end, but it will end. But that's not what we're looking forward to. What we're looking forward to is after the violence is all over. Because then there's going to be the kingdom this world longs for. When Rodney King said a long time ago, "Why can't we all just get along?" Because we can't, because we're filled with sin. And we can all get along just as long as you do it my way. Right? If you people would just, everybody would see it my way, we'd get along fine. Husbands and wives, children and parents, bosses and employees, the government and the governed, everybody's shouting, "See it my way!" Oh, but there'll come a day when there'll be real peace. I want us to describe that. I want us to end with that. I know we're running late, but I want us to see that, because it's no fair to stop with all that destruction and just, oh, that's the end. No, there's coming a great day, because Jesus is a wonderful King. And Isaiah talks all about it. Will you go with me back to the book of Isaiah? Back in the Old Testament, because Isaiah looked, Jesus hadn't even been born yet, and yet God showed Isaiah all about it. Look with me at Isaiah 9. You know the passage. They read it at Christmas. It's on a lot of Christmas cards. It's one of those passages that you maybe think about at Christmas time and then we put away and we don't pull back out until next Christmas. But here's what he says. Look with me at Isaiah 9. "Nevertheless," Isaiah 9:1, "there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the Gentiles by the way of the sea along the Jordan." Oh, that's why Jesus came to Galilee. Because he said he'd honor it. And he did. "The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nations and increased their joys. They rejoice before you as people rejoicing at the harvest, as men rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given." Notice the son isn't born. The son is given. Jesus wasn't made when he was born of Mary. Jesus existed from the beginning. He was born, but he was not made. He was given. He existed before he was born. You and I, when we were conceived, that was the beginning of us. We are not eternal creatures. We may be everlasting. We may live forever, but we are not eternal. There was a beginning. There was a time when you didn't exist and I didn't exist and even Bob didn't exist. Ooh. There was a time, but never with Jesus. Jesus is old, older than the hills. He's from everlasting. And unto us a son is born, a child is born, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. The whole world will be under him. Every school, they won't argue about, can we say a prayer in school? They won't argue about, can you study the Bible in school? There'll be no ACLU saying, "We have rights." The government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over His kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice. There'll never be another unsolved crime. No one will ever have to go to bed with locks on the doors. There'll never be somebody stealing, somebody cheating. You won't have to have teachers walking up and down the rows to make sure that the kids aren't looking at each other's papers. It'll be established with justice and righteousness. There'll never be a personal lie. There'll never be a deception. From that time on and forever, the zeal of the Lord Almighty, God says, I'm not asking your permission. I don't need your help. I'll do it myself. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. He says, you don't have to take a vote, nor will I listen to a veto. I've already said it, and I'm going to do it. Look with me at what that's going to be like. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 11. I know it's 11 o'clock, but we got to see this. Look at Isaiah chapter 11. Here's what it's like. It says, verse 3, 11:3, He will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what He sees. You ever been lied to and deceived? You ever had your kids trick you? Your husband, your wife trick you? Your friends trick you? He won't judge by what He sees with His eyes or decide by what He hears with His ears. Nobody will have to tell Him. But with righteousness He will judge the needy. With justice He will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of His mouth, and with the breath of His lips He will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be His belt, and faithfulness the sash around His waist. There will never be a single lobbyist who will buy His vote. The wolf will lie down with the lamb. Oh, what wondrous it'll be. The whole world will be at peace. No more violence in the natural world. The wolf will lie down with the lamb. The leopard will lie down with a goat. The calf and the lion and the yearling together. And the little child will lead them. Can you see the little tea parties that kids, a three-year-old will have? And they'll have the wolf sitting there. Now, Mr. Wolf, you're going to drink your... And there'll be a lion there. Now, sit right there. Here's your tea. And they'll be pulling on their ears and pulling on their tail, and the lion will just roll over and let them scratch their belly. Oh, that's how it's going to be. The calf and the lion and the yearling together, and the little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, and the youngling and their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. And the infant will play near the hole of the cobra, and the young child put his hand into the viper's nest. And they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. How much do the waters cover the sea? Is there a square millimeter where the waters don't cover the sea? By definition, if the water's there, it's the sea, and if it ain't, it ain't sea. In the same way, the whole earth, there won't be one square foot of earth that doesn't belong to Jesus in reality. And that day is going to come. On that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the people, and the nations will rally to Him. Oh, what a day. Look with me at one more verse, and then we're done. I know it's a lot, but this is just so good. Oh, we can't leave it. Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65. Isaiah chapter 65, verse 17. Isaiah 65:17. Behold, Isaiah 65:17, "Behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. But be glad and rejoice forevermore in what I create. For I will create Jerusalem to be a delight and its people a joy. No one will persecute the Jews ever again." There'll be no more wars over Jerusalem. People say, "Oh, there's all these wars over religion." There'll never be another war over Jerusalem. Oh, what a day that will be. "I will rejoice over Jerusalem and take delight in my people. The sound of weeping and of crying, it will be heard in it no more." Oh, what a day. How many people sit alone at night and cry? How many people cry silently today? But there will be a day when there will not be one tear shed unless they're tears of joy. "Never again will there be an infant who lives but a few days. There'll never be a stillbirth. There'll never be an abortion. There'll never be a child that goes through the horror of partial birth abortion, halfway born and then killed and then allowed to be born. It'll never happen. And they'll never have a child born and the doctor say, 'I'm sorry, there's a problem.'" Notice, this isn't in heaven where we have glorified bodies. This is people on earth in bodies just like this, having children. Jesus is going to reign right here, right on this earth, in this space, in this time. "Never again will there be an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not live out his years. He who dies at 100 will be considered a mere youth. So-and-so rebelled against the Lord and he was killed. Oh, that's a tragedy. How old was he? 100. Oh, he's just a child, just starting out. "He who dies at 100 will be thought a mere youth. He who fails to reach 100 will be considered accursed. They will build houses and dwell in them." No more mortgages being repossessed. No more people saying, "I can't pay." They'll build houses and live in them. "They will plant vineyards and eat their fruit. No longer will they build houses and others live in them, or plant and others eat. For as the days of a tree, so will be the days of my people. My chosen one will long enjoy the works of their hand. They will not toil in vain." You know the old song that the seven dwarfs sang? I owe, so off to work I go. Oh, isn't that how it goes? Never again. Never again. Never again. "For they will be a people blessed by the Lord, they and their descendants with them. Before they call, I'll answer." While they are still speaking, you ever pray? You've been praying for something for a long time? Man, I have. And it seems like God isn't hearing. It seems like it's taking a long time. He says, in that day, there won't be having to persevere in prayer. There won't be having to wait. There won't be people who die in faith believing for God to move, but He hasn't moved yet. In that day, before they speak, they call, I'll answer. Before, while they're still speaking, I'll hear. The wolf and the lamb will feed together. There it is again. The lion will eat straw like an ox, but dust will be the serpent's food. And they will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Oh, Jesus is going to come back and He's going to reign and He's going to rule. Let me ask you, are you ready today? Are you ready for that day? I'm not just asking, are you saved? I'm asking that. Because if you're not born again, you are not ready. But I'm not just asking that. It's not enough to say, oh yeah, I was born again 20 years ago. I'm asking, are you walking with Him today? Are you looking forward? What did we read in Peter? What kind of people ought we to be while we live godly and holy lives? Anticipating, looking forward to, and speeding His coming, living in such a way that our lives hasten His will and bring about the salvation of those that need to be saved so He can come. Are you living that way today? If not, then today is the day. Do not do what they did in Revelation, where it says, neither would they repent. Don't be one of those that says, not me. I know what you said, preacher, but you know, I think I'll just do it my way. Don't be that way. Don't be one who doesn't repent. Today is the day to say, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm not walking in the right direction. I need to change my direction. I need to change my life. I need to change my friends. I need to get back with you. Whatever it takes. Jesus said, if you search for me, you'll find me. If you seek for me with all your heart. Will you give him your heart today? Let's bow together. Lord, there is that wonderful day coming. And it will come just like you came the first time, just as you promised. Just like you fulfilled all those verses in the Old Testament. The verses about you, Bethlehem Ephratah, are not the least, for out of you will be born. The verses from Daniel that said there will be 483 years and then Messiah will come. The verses that said, unto us a child will be born. All those verses that were predicted, a virgin will be with child, you fulfilled them all. And just like you fulfilled the ones about your first coming, you will fulfill every single verse about your second coming. You will come again. And the world scoffs and says, oh, when? It's been too long. Lord, you said, don't count it that way. You're patient. You don't want anyone to perish. But you will come. Lord, increase our faith to anticipate. Change our lives so we're ready to meet you when you come again. In Jesus' name, amen.